This coming Shabbos, we are going to have the wonderful opportunity of studying Parsha Shemini. It's a very jam-packed Parsha. And the Parsha begins with Aaron HaKohen getting ready to take over the job on the eighth day. And we're told, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Tasu. This is the thing that Hashem told you to do. Now, Rav Chaim Sabato Shalita, the great Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivat Ma'alei Adumim, he contrasts this command with the actions of Nadav and Avihu that we're going to read about at the end of the parasha, or in the middle of the parasha, where we're told that they brought an Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Osam that they were not commanded to bring. So Rav Sabato explains that when it comes to the service of Hashem, the idea of Zeh, this, is critical. While it's important to bring Shekhinah into our world, and that might have been the purpose of why we do what we do, our acts have to be in concert with the mitzvot that Hashem gave Moshe. We can't go off and just choose to do whatever we want spontaneously. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, adds that that's perhaps one of the great lessons that we find as a link between the Torah and the Haftorah as well. Nadav and Avihu acted on the basis of their spontaneity and were in trouble for it, and of course Uzzah, in the Haftorah, comes to the same difficulty as well. And so we're told, Zeh HaDavar, pay attention. It's important to understand that there's a halacha. Karav el HaMizbeach, and then Aaron HaKohen is told, come close to the Mizbeach, Moshe tells him. And Rashi notes that Aaron was a Yari Ubosh. He was afraid and embarrassed to come close until Moshe told him he shouldn't be embarrassed. Ki lekach nivcharta, because that's exactly why you were chosen for the job. Moshe's comment is as strange as Aaron. Why was he scared about his involvement in the Cheda Egel? And why would Moshe then tell him that it was for this that you were chosen? Right? What was the message to be contained therein? He became a Kohen Gadol simply because he did the Cheda Egel? That doesn't make sense. So the Baal Shem Tov notes that there's no way that a tzaddik can raise Klal Yisrael unless he has a yerida, unless he meets them somewhere in their sin. And as he works to correct himself, he brings the people up with him in the process. So based on this idea, Rav Elyo Schlesinger explains that the reason why Aaron was part of the ego was because Hashem knew that when he would be chosen Kohen Gadol, he'd be able to effect tshuva not only for himself, but for the people too, bringing them along with him. And thus, while he was embarrassed, Moshe asked him why he should be so. Lekach nevcharta, you were chosen specifically to be a part of the Egel story because of your future role as Kohen Gadol, and that's something you need to hold on to. Of course, while Aaron went ahead and he followed through on the word of Hashem, his children went a little bit further. They took an Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Osam, and the Torah tells us, Vayamusu lifnei Hashem, they died in front of Hashem. Now, many different reasons exist as to why Nadav and Avihu died. The Medrash notes that they made many women in Tagunos, waiting to see if they would be picked to be appropriate wives. And others explain that they walked by Moshe and Aaron, asking, Masaya Musu Shnayim Elu Bani Vatan and I Gesat Tzibor. And both explanations are somewhat unbelievable for two of whom are described as Bikrovai, that they're destined to be Hashem's close ones. And so the Chafetz Chaim suggested that Nadav and Avihu were worried that they would not be up to the challenge of leading if Moshe and Aaron died, and they were encouraging each other to rise to the occasion. But the late great Rav Elyo Svei Zatzal, Rosh Yeshiva in Philadelphia Yeshiva, suggested that Nadav and Avihu wanted to add on. Their whole being was invested in building steeper levels of holiness and adding an Avas Hashem. They wanted to make things stricter. Katani Avami Masne Avi. But sometimes when we step too far out of where we belong, we damage ourselves. And so by demanding steps of Klal Yisrael that they couldn't handle, or by deciding that no women would be able to be a proper ezer, a proper assistance to them, they did more damage than good, and they lost their lives in the process. Sometimes we have to know we are, and to know what it means to rise from where we are, in order for us to be able to go ahead and achieve. And not to look down. Not to look down on ourselves. What a wonderful idea from the Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva. Yayin v'shechar al teisht. We're told that after Nadav and Avihu died, that we have to be careful not to drink Yayin v'shechar. Rav Shecht used to tell us, in the name of the Daskenim Mivalei Atosos, who offers a comment about getting drunk. One shot in the Nadav and Avihu story is that they were drunk. And the Daskenim writes that Adam married Chava, and he got drunk at his own wedding, and that's what led to the miscalculation, for which he ate from the Eitz Hadas. The Asakenim answered, this is why the minhag is that we say l'chaim, when one has an intoxicating drink, to make sure that the drinking that's done is done appropriately. Rav Asher Weiss, Shalita, told us in very strong terms that he finds that the idea of getting drunk at a chasna is something that's absolutely usur. And it's mind-blowing to him, and to be quite honest, quite disappointing. I certainly understand where he's coming from. Sometimes we think we're a little too mako on the mashke, and it causes a certain diminution of the true simcha that's being experienced. So therefore, the next day, Elazar and Isamar did not eat from the seer chatas of Rosh Chodesh, and Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at them. And Aaron explained why it was that he got angry. Vayishma Moshe vayita beinav, and Moshe heard about it, and he agreed. He agreed that Aaron was correct. Rashi explains that he admitted the correctness of Aaron and his sons, and he wasn't embarrassed to say lo shamati. Why did Moshe need to publicly state that he was wrong? Why couldn't he simply have said nothing and make it apparent that he was backing down from his own position? So Rav Nosson Wachvogel, Zechatzarek Livracha, the Mashgiach in Lakewood, explained that the ability to understand Torah is dependent upon the person having good midos. And Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated that the good midos of admitting one's wrong promotes that you have loftier goals than your own kavod, namely to keep growing. It's midos like these that allows one to understand Torah better and better, not to be so into yourself, but to be able to grow beyond. We're told at the end of the parsha, after we read all the different rules of kashrus, that you should sanctify yourself and be holy, because I'm holy. And Reb Leib Chasman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the famous Mashgiach, tells, he explained that precious, that separation, is a great avenue of advice for someone looking to be saved from a troubling life situation. Separating from the unnecessary and somewhat dangerous futility of this world is a very lofty goal. And so separating from eating bugs was a reason enough to serve as a merit to leave from Mitzrayim, even if eating bugs is not an enticing experience. And we're also told, l'havdil bein ha-tameh u'bein ha-tar, to distinguish between tameh and tar, and Rashi explains that this distinction is not between the kosher and not kosher species, but rather between an animal shechted fully and that which is not properly shechted. So Rav Zevin Zatzal notes that in life as well as in food, the difference between tameh and tahor can be as small as a hair, making the difference between half a siman versus a majority. And no good, like a shechita that's only exactly half and half, versus great, where it's shechitas rov. We also sometimes, the difference between something or someone no good and somebody who's fantastic is also the difference. And finally, in the Haftorah, we also read Kendi Ber Nasana Navi. And Rav David Feinstein Zatzal points out that at the beginning of the Haftorah, Nasana Navi was right about taking it upon himself to build the Beis HaMikdash. And now he told David HaMelech that it would be his son who would receive the command from Hashem. But the message that would comfort David HaMelech was that Hashem would choose Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash as the resting place for the Shekhinah, just as he chose to do in the Mishkan built by Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes in our lives we think to ourselves, if we don't do it, it's a sign that we are no good. Sometimes it's a sign that things that last are better than things that we build. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to give the bracha through somebody else, as a result, this is a blessing for us as well. Sometimes we need to understand that the greatest things that last are the things that are connected to our Torah Kedosha. May we enjoy them all, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us a Shabbat Shalom to all.